This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Southeast Louisiana, as people are desperate for food, power, water, and so many other things. It's awful. Power outages, 1 million still in the dark, and more people have been reported dead in the wake of that hurricane. Meanwhile, the path moves on toward the northeast with an eye on the Mid-Atlantic states and some other cities who will be right in the middle of it, or states that will be right in the middle of it, like West Virginia. And what can they expect? Lots and lots of rain, which means maybe flash floods, that kind of thing. It looks pretty scary to me, so we're not done with Ida yet. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, glad you're with us, and we'll be talking about Hurricane Ida in a few minutes, but it was the president who took to the airwaves to try to do some explaining and wrapping up of Afghanistan while they were celebrating in Kabul with fireworks and lots of fanfare. It was a much different situation, as we have completely left our longest war of 20 years just the other day. The president addressing the nation, here's what he had to say.
The United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history, with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals. And they did it, knowing ISIS-K terrorists, sworn enemies of the Taliban, were lurking in the midst of those crowds. And still, the women and men of the United States military, our diplomatic corps, and intelligence professionals did their job and did it well, risking their lives, not for professional gains, but to serve others. Not in a mission of war, but in a mission of mercy. That assumption that the Afghan government would be able to hold on for a period of time beyond military drawdown turned out not to be accurate. But I still instructed our national security team to prepare for every eventuality, even that one. And that's what we did. So we were ready. We got thousands of Afghan translators and interpreters and others who supported the United States out as well. Now we believe that about 100 to 200 Americans remain in Afghanistan with some intention to leave. Most of those who remain are dual citizens, long-time residents who had early decided to stay because of their family roots in Afghanistan. So we're left with a simple decision. Either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. That was the choice, the real choice. I was not going to extend this forever war. And I was not extending a forever exit. But I also know that the threat from terrorism continues in its pernicious and evil nature. But it's changed, expanded to other countries. Our strategy has to change, too. We will maintain the fight against terrorism in Afghanistan and other countries. We just don't need to fight a ground war to do it. I believe this is the right decision, a wise decision, and the best decision for America. Thank you, and may God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
4,000 were evacuated, approximately 5,400 Americans. We continue to have the capability to evacuate and fly out those until the very end. But as you talk about active peace, we're continuing to work with Department of State on that and continue evacuation and military operations.
That was William Hank Taylor. He is the United States Army Major General, who is the Deputy Director for Regional Operations and Force Management of the Joint Chiefs or the Joint Staff since June of 2020. Before that, he was the Senior Advisor to the Ministry of Defense of Afghanistan. You can only imagine what he's seen. And it is the last of what now has been the longest war for the U.S., 20 years, and the last C-17 left Hamid Karzai Airport on Tuesday, and that's it at this point. And there are people that have been left behind, and there are questions as to, after this U.S. exit from Afghanistan, ending this 20 years of war, what happens next? Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as we roll through yet another week at the tail end of the summer, getting ready for Labor Day, and we are laboring through some pretty tough things. I think we lost our breath, and it really hammered on so many of our hearts what happened over the weekend. The 13 service members, as I talked about them all individually on my previous show, that were brought back in, coffins that were wrapped, or cases, as they call them, wrapped with the flag and very delicately handled. That transition is so beautifully done for an awful, awful thing that has happened, where somebody is with them at all times, every single one, just really tugs at you. And that happened on the weekend over at Dover Air Force Base, and the family spoke with the president. And now this is the last of the last. The longest war is over. It's done. We're out, and the numbers were staggering. Even in getting out, all the people that could.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
This show with Eric Salazar, our technical maestro, who has been part of the show off and on for, it seems like, forever, and at least it feels like 15 years, but I don't think it's been 15 years, I'm kidding. But what an incredible job he did, really, really caring about what was happening and how he sounded on the air, so I really appreciate him. And this is his final This or That with me from the mothership in Minneapolis. Eric, this is it.
This is the final episode.
Wow, the final episode. How long did you work at GCN?
For over 3 years now.
3 years. Yeah, but in dog years, it's like 15.
Yeah, exactly. It was like 15 because the last 3 years have been like 5 years. So
like there you go. And so you're going back to New Mexico, and that's where you're from, and you lived in Minneapolis for, what, 11 years, right?
Yep.
Yay. So it's good. You have all these friends and good memories, and we live in a world where we're all interconnected anyway, so it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an awesome 11 years, that's for sure.
Cool. And that's the best thing about exploring and going to other places. We'll definitely miss you. There's no question about it. And Jeremy Paulson is stepping into your shoes. Very big shoes. It's like he's taking I think of Jeremy stepping into your role like you were like the front of the house. So now he's stepping into that same position. Do you think he's excited about it?
Yeah, he's... Everyone who does your show is like nervous. I mean, I didn't get nervous, but everyone else has been nervous for some reason. I don't know.
Why? Why are they nervous?
Like you said, just big shoes. You know?
Big shoes, baby. That's right. Because we have some big fun on the show. All right, so This or That, let's have some fun with that. You're stuck in a cabin, and even if you don't like to play games, you are forced to play one or the other. Monopoly versus Scrabble. Which do you choose, This or That?
Monopoly.
Monopoly. Why is that? Because you want to just acquire all the real estate and that Monopoly's about?
Yeah, it's... I like to play with money, even if it's fake money.
Even if it's fake.
And my vocabulary is not very large.
Well, there's the thing about Scrabble, right? It's frustrating. And plus, it's so popular though, but it's so hard because also what words I think should be acceptable, you might not. What's the dictionary we're looking it up in? That whole thing. And as far as board games go, Scrabble though is incredibly popular, but so is Monopoly. But you're right. You have to have, a decent vocabulary or you get stuck when you have these tiny letters and you can't form any words and then it becomes difficult to play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I honestly don't even know how to play Scrabble.
So you would somehow figure it out if you had to. And just so you know, the first game, it was marketed in 1948. It was actually developed in 1931, but then was redesigned. You know, it was called Crisscross originally, and then it was marketed in 1948. It was first sold in Great Britain in 1954.
Wow.
I know, wow. Leave it to the Brits.
What about Monopoly, though?
Monopoly, you know what's cool about Monopoly is Monopoly's history is that it's expanded, where they have Monopoly for even just certain areas of the country or the world, but the history of Monopoly goes back to 1903. Mm. And somebody did it, the person who did it wanted to explain the single tax theory, apparently. It was supposed to be like an educational thing, and then it turned into something completely different. It just became something different. It became a different version of, I think, what they initially thought that it was going to be. But it's based on the real-life streets of Atlantic City, not too far from where I grew up, 45 minutes from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where I grew up. So, and it is a greed-driven game, so that says you are greedy.
No, I'm not greedy.
Not greedy. 1 billion people.
I always lose at that game, so.
Oh, I know, it's tough. 1 billion people, though, in 114 countries have played Monopoly. Supposedly. Yeah. It's pretty good. All right, so let's move on. Plain potato chips or barbecue or any other flavor on the face of the earth, what chips are you choosing?
Probably barbecue.
Barbecue potato chips. It's interesting because if you went with barbecue potato chips, Lay's potato chips has over 200 flavors. It's ridiculous the amount of flavors that are out there. There's jalapeno flavor. There's sour cream and onion. I like that. Of course, there's there's the barbecue flavor chips. There's just crazy amounts of different kinds of potato chips. It seems like every year there's new flavors that come out. There's even contests for it where people have won some pretty big money in coming up with different new flavors. And in 2020, they had the chili manango. They had the Lay's wavy jerk chicken. They had the summer BLT. So you never know what's next, right?
Yeah, Jeremy's saying his favorite chip is black pepper.
Oh, I like black pepper. We're going to get along. I like black pepper. Some people don't like it. They think it's too hot, but I like the way it tastes. So I'm going to agree. Yay, Jeremy. Go, Jeremy.
Black pepper's not hot, is it?
Well, for some people who like things super plain.
Oh, yeah.
They don't like, you know, it's too much. They just want a plain potato chip, so I disagree. So I'm in the same boat with you, both of you. I like flavors. By the way, for me, definitely Scrabble, because I need to keep improving my vocabulary, even though you're right, it's tricky. Apple or banana? You have a choice of either one. You know, it's the basic fruit. Which would you choose, because this or that?
Banana.
And you know what? The most popular fruits in the U.S. in 2020, bananas was number one, apples two, grapes three, strawberries four. Then you had oranges, watermelons, lemons, avocados. How about that?
Avocados.
Oh, I love avocados.
Those are the best.
Yeah. But bananas, around 70% of consumers purchase bananas. And that is a fact because that comes from the Produce Marketing Association. So they add up all the dollars and cents and they track all that stuff. And so it's huge. I mean, listen, it has 105 calories. That's it for a medium sized banana. And it's got all the things you need in it. Potassium, B6, vitamin C, magnesium, you know, all that good stuff, right?
Fiber, and they're cheap.
Fiber. They're cheap. Exactly. All right, so because you're eating crappy potato chips and you're trying to expand your brain thinking of playing Monopoly and you're eating bananas, of course you're going to be working out. So this or that, you get a challenge and you have to do 100 squats or push-ups. Which would you attempt?
I can do either, so, but I would probably rather do, I did squats today, so I'll go with squats.
All right, squats. I think I would do squats too. I'm terrible at push-ups. I don't like push-ups. I don't know. I can't do, push-ups is a dude thing more than a, I shouldn't say that because then every woman would freak out. Yes, women can do push-ups, but that's that upper body strength, and my strength is definitely in my legs, so squats for me, too. Squats are so good for you, so yay. If we went old school for a week, and you would have to do one or the other, would you prefer to go back to an answering machine where nobody can get a hold of you unless they call a telephone that has an answering machine, not your iPhone, none of that? Or play Pong, the old-fashioned video games, not the current ones. So, like, Pong or Donkey Kong, not the, you know, Madden 2 million or whatever.
Yeah, I like the idea of the answering machine.
Me too. You know why? No one can get a hold of you. Oh, I'm so sorry. We went out for drink. I just had no idea. You know, that eliminated one of our excuses because people can always text you. We walk around with our device, so it's so easy unless you don't charge it, which would be another excuse. Well, anyway, it was great working with you, and we wish you the best on the road to New Mexico.
Thank you, Kate. You as well.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have criticized President Biden for his handling of the situation in Afghanistan, including members of the House of Freedom Caucus. Speaking for that group, Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs called on President Biden to resign.
We also call upon the person who said the buck stops here, who said more than 20 times we will not leave any American behind, the person who basically orchestrated the July 2nd evacuation of Bagram without telling Afghanis, we call upon most somberly the resignation of this President Joe Biden.
And COVID vaccination rates have doubled since mid-July, according to the White House. COVID response coordinator Jeff Zients said Tuesday that the U.S. is administering an average of 900,000 doses per day, up from 500,000 per day in mid-July. You're listening to USA Radio News. Companies have begun putting in place COVID vaccine mandates for their employees, including one company that makes vaccines. Tim Berg explains.
COVID-19 vaccine manufacturer AstraZeneca is requiring all of its U.S. employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus if they plan on returning to the workplace or need to interact with customers. Though AstraZeneca manufactures its own vaccine for use in approved countries, the shot has not been approved for use in the United States meaning its U.S. employees will need to get a vaccine made by one of the company's competitors, such as Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And after weeks of delays, the Texas legislature has approved a controversial election reforms bill that caused the Democratic members of the Texas House to flee to Washington, D.C. to deprive the body of a quorum. After the bill passed in the House, Texas Governor Greg Abbott indicated that he would sign it into law. This is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Boy, they did a beautiful wedding.
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
We're going to New South Wales for a conversation with Raymond Dart. He's written a book called Through My Eyes. And you know what? It really hit me between my eyes. Because when the pandemic hit, I found out that I had a great-great-grandmother who died in the pandemic, who I never even knew her name, knew nothing about her, because my great-great-grandfather had remarried. So I had no idea about the name of the people, anything related to her. She died, and my grandmother was 7 months old. So there is so much history that's lost because there's nobody to ask those questions to, and I'm digging around. So Raymond is a smart guy. He decides he's going to put down that family history, and it is so interesting and so rich with many details of things that were happening in the world that I think anybody can relate to this, and it's a good reminder that when you don't leave things for children, they lose something in translation because they don't know about their relatives. They don't know about their history. They don't know about their strong Christianity and how they felt about really the world. So he's in our virtual green room. Let's go to him now. Hey, Raymond, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Kate?
Well, and you heard my introduction. I mean, look at me. I have a whole lost family line that I knew nothing about. So I think it's so powerful that you decided to write the book. And you said to me off the air, that's why you decided to write it, right? That you needed to get that out.
That's correct.
And in the beginning of the book, you have a really powerful foreword because your dad was a Baptist minister, and the Christian binds, you know, the Christianity that bound your family really stuck. It stuck through all the generations. And I think that's significant, especially in a world where people go lopsided, go in different directions. Your family really, really stuck to what they believed in, didn't they?
That's true. I can actually trace the Christian heritage back through my father to my grandparents, to my great-grandparents, to my great-great-grandparents. And maybe further, but I know that far, that they were all Christians and they all carried on their faith and lived their faith.
Yeah, so in the beginning, I thought this was really unique. You put a piece of scripture in the beginning of the book, in the foreword. Read that for us, if you would.
The first one I put was the verse from Psalm 78, 3 and 4. Things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us, will not hide from their children, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders which he has wrought.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I think you really weave that into the tale. Tell us about your dad, because I already set it up that he was a Baptist minister. What was life like for you?
Well, we're a family of seven children. And Dad, of course, was a minister, and ministers in those days didn't get paid very well. In fact, many times they weren't paid at all, but they were paid poorly. And so we actually had to rely on a large number of friends who would donate goods to us or help us out with clothes and things of that nature because we couldn't afford to buy them.
But you remember your childhood as happy, as playing in the sand pits. Right? And none of that really was something you were thinking about.
No, we were very happy as a family, and we got on pretty well together. We had the usual fights, of course, with brother on brother and that sort of thing. But we all rooted for one another if we found it was necessary to defend one against someone outside.
I like that. So yeah, I like that you were each other's cheerleaders, so to speak, in rooting for each other. So important for people listening to us, which, by the way, through my eyes, Raymond Dart, that's who we're speaking with. You can get his book on Amazon. You went into education. What drove you into education, and what was it like being a teacher?
I love being a teacher. I came out of high school and had to decide what I wanted to do, and I had two choices that I thought about. One was law, and the other was teaching. And then I decided that maybe law was going to be too much reading. So I decided on teaching, and I was able to get a scholarship, which meant I could afford to go, whereas I wouldn't have been able to go to do a law degree because my parents didn't have enough money to do that for me. So that when I went to teaching, I did a two-year teacher training course, which qualified me to be what we would call here primary teacher. That's an elementary teacher in the States. And I went to college for 2 years, learned to be a teacher, decided I would look into small schools, that is schools that have only one teacher. And I was appointed to a one teacher school in my first appointment. But at the same time that I started, I decided that I should try and improve my qualifications. So I decided to enroll in university, and I did that by correspondence, so online as a day-to-day. And over the years, I managed to do those subjects, a couple of subjects a year, until I got my degree. Having got that degree, I was then able to transfer to the high school. I didn't deliberately choose to go to the high school at once because I was happy in the primary school and was already making my way up in the primary school system. But my middle daughter had a painful birth, and then she had a congenital hip condition, which meant we had to get near to a hospital, and the only hospital that could deal with her problem was in Sydney. So I asked the Department of Education if they would transfer me to the high school. At that time, they were short of high school teachers, and so they were happy for me to transfer. Now I had a degree. So they gave me a position in Sydney, in the outskirts of Sydney, in Liverpool, and I took that, and so we were able to come to Sydney while our daughter was in hospital. She spent 9 months in hospital and was in what they call a frog plaster to try and keep her hip in place so that the ball of the hip, which wasn't there, could grow. And at that time, we ran out of money for medical things, and we had to scratch and save to try and pay for the hospitalisation. But anyway, we got through that. And following that, I was appointed to another school in the Liverpool area, and then to a third school in the Liverpool area. But meanwhile, we stayed in Camden, which was just out of Sydney all that time. So the children were actually raised in the same house as they grew up. So we had a very firm base for the family to grow in.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift to them, actually, if you think about that. Because we all talk about our childhood homes, and if you're shuffled around a bit, it makes a difference. You ultimately became a principal. What did that mean to become a principal? Because it's quite something to go through the educational ranks anywhere in the world and to make it to that level. Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did. I always enjoyed working with children, and that was the motivation, I guess, for doing that. I had to go through a number of what they called at that time lists. They had lists 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you had to have an inspection by an inspector who would say, yes, you're good enough to go to the next level. So I went to list 1, then to list 2, and once I got to list 2, I was able to become a head of department, and then I got to list 3, and I was able to become deputy principal. And then List 4 gave me the principal's job. So I was working on that all the time. At the same time, I was studying further and ended up doing a degree in education administration, a master's. And then as I finished my career, I also did a doctorate. But the doctorate didn't actually do me any good in the schools because it was at retirement time. When I'd retired, actually, that I finished it. And the reason for that was that I had a few issues health-wise which prevented me from continuing what I'd started quite a number of years earlier.
But you're a lifelong learner, I can tell, and I bet you passed that on to your children.
That's true, and I've got a daughter who's very much like me, my eldest daughter, and she's always doing things. She's finished a degree, and she's going on and hoping to do a master's soon, and she's already leading people in the church field. And I've got a son who always said he didn't want to be like me because I worked too hard, but he now lives in Canada, and he worked in the fire department, and he was able to rise to the level of being a district chief, and then he retired, or he was retired early, and so he's now in Canada, living in Toronto, still with his family, 5 children.
Wow, good for him, a proud papa. So when people read your book, Through My Eyes, Raymond, what do you hope they take away?
I hope they see a family that was united and was happy, particularly in my younger years, that you can't do anything in your life without persevering. And it sort of ties in with our motto, which is per labor et perseveranta, which means by hard work and perseverance.
So the name fits. And that brings us full circle. And you see that family crest on the book. Raymond, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
I'm very pleased to be with you. Thank you for calling me.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
In the warehouse, the job has to get done. But if you're working with an outdated forklift that has more downtime than up due to maintenance, it's time to make the switch to NobleLift lithium-ion-powered forklifts. With a NobleLift forklift, you get less downtime, a longer lifespan, fast, efficient opportunity charging, and a five-year cost of ownership that will save you almost $45,000 over internal combustion models. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Find out more at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's time to invade the man cave.
All right, welcome to the man cave. Do you like the new digs? I've been all of a sudden hooked on this show called Love It or List It. It's on HGTV. And every once in a while, I dabble away from sports or politics or business. And you know, although I'm not going to do half of what you see on HGTV, this show is pretty good because I like the I like the man and the woman on it, that they go back and forth, and then what happens to these people in their houses. And I saw a tremendous man cave the other day, so I thought, ooh, if Hillary Farr, she's the designer on that show, could come and design a few things for me and spruce up this man cave, that would be something. I can imagine what it would look like. So whatever you're picturing in your mind, no peanuts on the floor. We've got bags you can throw them into. And if you make a shot across the room, it's a $5 for that shot across the room. All right, speaking of shots across the room, this shot could be heard all, I think, throughout Patriot Nation. Cam Newton is gone. I mean, gone. So he's been cut by the New England Patriots. It is kind of a surprise or stunning move, if you will, but Coach Bill Belichick said that Cam Newton was the team's starting quarterback, but that he had to reestablish the position or someone would have to play better than him. So guess what happened? I'm sure he didn't think that, but someone played better than him, according to Belichick, and it's the rookie, Mac Jones. Jones had a pretty good line. He finished the preseason 36 of 52 for 389 yards, one TD, no interceptions. Played like 100-plus snaps, so the highest amount of snaps among Patriot quarterbacks. Newton had started every preseason game but didn't play as much overall. He finished the preseason 14 of 21 for 162 yards, one touchdown, one interception. So he's out. He's gone. He put on his Instagram account, "I really appreciate all the love and support during this time, but I have to say I don't feel sorry for me. I am good." You know, Belichick said, "I'm looking for consistency, production when I'm evaluating quarterbacks." And so I think one of the big breakthroughs for Jones came when Newton missed three practices because of COVID-19 protocol. That whole misunderstanding supposedly last week, and Jones took over the team. How costly is that for a medical thing? Wow.
And he did, I guess he did look impressive. There was a joint session with the New York Giants, and he knows this offense. He knows the formations. He knows how to run it. He's getting the offensive line protection. I mean, again, this is not the regular season, but he's earned respect from teammates. And that's saying something, and Belichick decided that was the move they were going to make. Now, the Patriots had re-signed Newton to a one-year deal in March that included a $3.5 million guarantee money-wise. So Newton would have earned $5.1 million if he was healthy and on the roster as a backup with incentives that could have upped the package to like $13.6 million if he was the starter and the team went to the playoffs. But that's not even... that's not anything now. He's done. He's out. He's gone. So that's it for Cam Newton. Now, here's the question. Does he go somewhere else? Does somebody else pick up Cam Newton? I mean, this is Superman we're talking about if you re-rack the clock like 5 years ago. Wow. Cowboys, different situation. A lot of the spotlight on the Cowboys, though, because they were the team of hard knocks. The Cowboys settled on Cooper Rush as the backup to Dak Prescott. So, you know, you got to, everybody's doing this. All the teams had to cut their 53-player roster limit on Tuesday. So they released Garrett Gilbert, who started three of their four preseason games, and Ben DiNucci, a seventh-round pick in 2020. So Rush returns to a spot he had from the 2017-2019 season. So he's back. And Jerry Jones said credit to him. He had some tough competition, and he's had a lot of reps, and he's shown that he can run the complete offense. And I think that was the key, right? So he was 29 of 46 passes, 272 yards with two touchdowns, no interceptions. And that was the key. His experience in the system would make it a plus for him. That was an easy turnaround. An easy turnaround for him, because that's what you need in a backup for Dak Prescott and for the Cowboys. I mean, that's what they were looking at, and they knew that. They knew they had that in him. All right, what's in a sign in baseball? It can be everything, but it shows you the world we're living in. I thought, is bird the word? Was it the bird? But it wasn't, because I didn't see what happened with Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez, but they apologized to New York Mets fans on Tuesday, saying they were wrong for giving the thumbs down gesture after getting booed in the last couple of games. Lindor said, thumbs down for me means adversity, the adversity we've gone through this whole time. However, it was wrong, and I apologize to whoever I offended. It wasn't my intent to offend people. And Baez said the same thing. I didn't mean to offend people. But here's the part I really, really liked. Lindor said later, when he was asked by reporters about it, he said, I've sucked at times, and I haven't done my part when it comes to the offensive side. But I don't think that we have a bunch of guys just complaining all the time about the media, the fans, the city. No, no, no. We're playing the game. We're trying to win. We're trying to do whatever it takes to win and represent the organization the best way. So, I mean, look, that's what happens. Mets president Sandy Alderson said the gestures were unacceptable and can't be tolerated. And booing is every fan's right. I mean, that's New York for you. I love it, Sandy. Booing is every fan's right. So if they want to boo, let them boo. Let them boo. All right, this isn't about booing. This is about vaccinations. The NBA is going to require the referees to be vaccinated unless they have some reason medically that they can't. So the NBA announced it had struck a deal with the National Basketball Referees Association. Part of the referees agreement with the NBA also says that those working the games will get booster shots once they become recommended. So the referees don't seem to be balking about it. They say it's a clear example of when labor and management work together for the common good of their collective business. And the NBRA said, which is the National Basketball Referees Association, you knew that, right? Easy acronym, that this agreement is a win-win, that it'll support the NBA's objective of creating a safer on-court environment and continuity of play while protecting the health and well-being of the referees. But what's interesting is, because they have such close contact with the players, is the players are not required to be fully vaccinated.
even though a lot were last season after the league encouraged them to do it by agreeing to relax some health and safety protocols for those who were, including fewer mandated coronavirus tests, no quarantine requirements, following contact tracing issues, and more freedoms on road trips, which, of course, that's what they wanted. So more players got vaccinated. And it's interesting. I mean, this is a, look, this is what we talk about every day. At some point in this show, we're going to talk about what's going on, who's sick, what's happening. It's really crazy. It really is. I was, like, looking at pictures the other day at sporting events and thinking, you know, what an innocent time this was 3 years ago, tailgating. Woohoo! We weren't thinking about any of this. We weren't, right? Of course we weren't. All right, speaking of getting in your head, this story is interesting. PGA Tour is coming down on hecklers, but specific hecklers. So Bryson DeChambeau has become not just a big boy hitter on tour, but also he's kind of a lightning rod for the crowds. On Tuesday, PGA Tour Commish Jay Monahan addressed that situation, saying that fans have been heckling the eight-time PGA Tour winner with shouts of Brooksy as an ode to his rival because of the rivalry they have. And a lot that's been written about it. I mean, these guys are going to be Ryder Cup teammates coming up here pretty soon. And I guess it's really, really happening. It's not just here and there. It's happening all over the place. And it became a thing early in the summer. There was a video that somehow emerged of somebody shouting Brooks Koepka's name, Brooksy, at DeChambeau during a practice round of the PGA Championship. And DeChambeau, unfortunately, fueled the fire for him because he said, who is calling me Brooksy needs to get out of here. Whoever's calling me Brooksy need to get out of here. So it's escalated because he poked it. So once that happened, then now that's what's happening. He, everywhere he goes, Brooksy, 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 Brooksy. And it's just, you're going to get ejected if they can fine you. And does it bother him? It looked like it did at the FedEx St. Jude Invitational. He had a meltdown on the back nine with a 41 while endearing a lot of jeers, and jeers from people that were there. And then it happened the week after, too. And so, and then he was leaving the course after losing a six-hole playoff to Patrick Cantlay. So not good. I mean, not good in the sense that I don't know how you would get that out of your head, right? I mean, so you're going to get ejected if they can find you, because they say it's the PGA is saying this is a form of bullying. All right, with that, we close the door to the man cave. Make it count, everybody, and thanks for listening.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.